Yeshu is Jesus. He called. Yeshu is the real Hebrew word. Christianity is not a religion. Every religion has a book, religious book. Christians have no religious book. The Bible is not the book that is written by the Christians. All the Jews, all the 12 disciples of Jesus were Jews. And Jesus himself is a Jew. And Jesus, whom I saw and I met, is not a Christian. He's a strict Jewish rabbi. I must tell you this. Strict Jewish rabbi. Now you will be troubled. You have already created your religion. You have created religion out of Christ. And now I'm telling you, Jesus is a Jewish rabbi. Today we have analyzed the Bible and we have communicated in our own languages. And we have come to know Jesus Christ is not only for the Jews. He is the creator of the whole universe. He is the creator of the whole world. And he is the Lord of all people, irrespective of your color, creed, caste, whatsoever you are. There's so much of sectarianism in religions. You will be shocked. The sectarianism in the religion is all over the world. All over the world. But when you come to Christ, there is no sectarianism. It's something like it happens what in my church, Indian church, Yeshu Darbar. We do not stop anybody from taking Holy Communion. We declare very clearly that Jesus Christ loved this Last Supper and supper with his own disciples. And he loved so much that he gave his own sacrifice of his own body. He died for the sins of the whole world. He shed his own blood and he became the true bread of life and true blood that gives us life into our life. He shed his blood. Everything is carried. That means life is carried through the blood and blood to blood. We always concerned, my blood is very royal blood. My blood is this blood. My blood is that blood. People talk about their blood, their genes and genealogies. I think at the last, when I came, encountered Christ, my genealogy was changed. I received a new genealogy of the children of God. Children of God. If you look at the John chapter 1 verse 12, Bible says, all those who believed in Christ Jesus, he gave them the authority to become the children of God. So Christ coming to the world is only one mandate to make the people and let them know they are not ordinary human beings. They are very special creation of God, and they are created in the image and likeness of God. And they carry the breath of God. That means animals and other livestock and other creation, plant kingdom, animal kingdom, do not really carry the breath of God. Breath is the spirit of God. So in fact, the spirit of man is the lamp of God. Bible says very clearly. Spirit of man is the lamp of God. That means inside us, there is a lamp always. Our own spirit is the lamp of God. That means it's a part of God. That means God is in us. That is why the 1 John 4:4 says, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is outside in the world. We are always facing outside world. There is a kingdom of the world. There is a kingdom of heaven. Here is always a battle, open battle between these two kingdoms. And here comes the king, ordained king, anointed king, who shall be the king of the whole earth and whole universe. And this anointed king comes in the form of a man in order to rule men through the kingdom of God's or heavenly mandate. And this king comes to earth. Born of the Virgin Mary, born of the Holy Spirit, and then called as Son of God. And this Son of God lived like us exactly, whatever he ate, barbecues, he ate fish, he ate bread, he ate everything, whatever was available in this world. But something that he could not do was, he was unable to commit sin. Because he did not carry the original sin in his own blood. Because his blood was not passed on. His genes were not passed on by his foster father, Joseph, who was not the real father. Father was the God himself. That means Holy Spirit himself hovered over the Mary. And Mary received the word of God. And this word of God became flesh. And this word became flesh, and we know him like in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And he moved in the world. The first thing after his baptism, water baptism by the John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit ascending upon him like a dove, testing. The testing began. Testing is always in the world. When you come in Christ, when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, when you take baptism, or even you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, the first thing begin is your testing. Testing will begin. We look on Matthew chapter 4. Here is the testing of Jesus Christ. Jesus was hungry for 40 days and 40 nights. He was fasting and praying, preparing himself for the ministry in the world, preparing the world for the kingdom of God. Fact was this. Preparing the world for the kingdom of God. Not that he was praying for himself. He was already prepared. He was already anointed. He was the anointed king from heaven. He is the Son of God. He carries all God's attributes within him. The power of God. The mandate of God. The mission of the heaven. Everything he is carrying within himself. He did not require any fasting and prayer for himself. He was fasting and praying for the world. World to be introduced to the kingdom of heaven. Because he was bringing kingdom of heaven on earth. So there were two kingdoms already there. Heavenly kingdom coming from heaven to earth. And worldly kingdoms which were already existing here. And this temptation, there are three temptations if you look at it. The first, the tempter is saying Jesus was hungry. And he wanted him to make stones into bread. He says, you make, you are a son of God. You can make stones into bread. Do you think the devil was lying? I have never seen devil lying before God. When devil encounters God, he will never lie. He has to speak truth. He has to speak truth because he is encountering God. He cannot hide. Therefore, the devil, when Satan is talking to Christ, he is speaking everything truth. And very scriptural also. He is very scriptural. Then Jesus said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord, the man shall live. I must tell you, stones are converted into bread that we are eating every day. I'm a soil scientist and agronomist. When the rocks undergo weathering, when the rocks undergo weathering, they are converted into minerals. And the mineral solutions are nothing but the rocky solutions. And that is what exactly the roots of the plants are taking up, the minerals from the soil solution. And these minerals are but nothing but the rocks, the pieces of rocks, invisible size of rock pieces that exactly is converted by the photosynthesis, that with the help of the sunlight and this energy that we receive, and it is converted into the carbohydrates. And these carbohydrates that you see in the form of seeds, in the form of leaves, and all that we eat. So fact is this, the process taken for converting stone into a bread, it takes about 3 to 6 months in our natural system, in our earthly systems, in chemical processes, transformations. scientific transformations that take place, stone to be converted into a bread. He was not lying. It was true. When I was applying my scientific mind, then I understood. One day I spoke to a bishop, a local bishop. He was a theologian. And he was traveling with me from one city to another. And we were discussing on various aspects of Bible. So I told him Bible is a book of science. It's full of queen of sciences. He was upset. Because they consider it, Bible, as a religious book, which I do not consider. They consider Bible as a religious book, which I really don't consider it a religious book. I consider it as the Word of God, the written Word of God, that can be translated and it can become flesh. This is written Word of God. It's much higher than your religious book. Much, much higher than the religious book, Bible is there. Bible is not an ordinary book. It's not a religious book at all. Don't make religion out of the Bible. Let this Bible go out in all the people, whether they are belonging to any denominations or religions, all around the world. Let the people know this is the Word of God, and what is Word of God? Sent from heaven for mankind, that the mankind can become children of God again. The childhood, the sonship, the daughtership that the man has lost can be regained through accepting this Word of God, this Bible. The Bible is full of power and full of the God's mandate. And then this, we all know that this first temptation is purely against God. Then second temptation is again, you are son of God, jump. Nothing will happen. Because the psalmist has already proclaimed a prophecy about you that you will never dash your foot against a stone. You are son of God, jump out of this high place. Then pinnacle of the temple. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So that means two temptations were exactly for tempting God. Devil was not tempting Jesus alone, but he was tempting, making him to tempt God. Then the third temptation, again devil took him up on the exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. So there is a glory of the kingdoms of the world. Great glory. Kings and great kings came, mighty kings came. Kingdoms came, Babylonian kingdoms, Persian kingdoms, and then Greek, and then so many historically you find great Alexander the Great, and so many kingdoms came. Finally, latest, we had British kingdom all over the world, and then even these kingdoms are all finished, if you see that. Worldly kingdoms are unstable kingdoms. But heavenly kingdom is the stable kingdom because that is stabilized in heaven. And in this, devil is showing Jesus, look at the kingdoms of the world. You have come here to establish your heavenly kingdom. I know this. You have come here with a mandate of heavenly kingdom. But I am giving you free. Take it. Only just obey me. Just obey me, worship me, that's all. And I will give you all the kingdoms that you see around this world. And Jesus says, this is temptation of man. Man Jesus Christ. Because Son of God became man. And this is the last temptation of man. The glory and the kingdoms of the world that attract us. They attract human beings. We are not interested in divine attractions, divine powers testing God. But we are definitely interested in maintaining our own powers and kingdoms, our own glories, own type of living, worldly living. All these things are the kingdoms of the world which were testing man Jesus Christ. And this man Jesus Christ is also Son of God. He's not an ordinary man, not like us. He did not fall into the temptations. He clearly said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." So how we can refute the temptations? The only through the word of God. See, what is the power of the word of God? How can we refute the temptations? Only by the power of the word of God. See, one day, I will show you some practicals. I am a very practical person, testing always Bible as practical word of God, as if I test something in my lab manual. If I am working in my lab, then I will say, okay, the manual says this drop, then you will have a change of color. So I drop that and see the change of color. That happens in the Bible. One day I was casting out a devil. And it was one of the friend of Lucifer, the real devil. And then he tells me, "Oh, Baba, you are great. You are great." Baba means a saint in Indian language. They call all the preachers Baba. So they said, "Baba, you are great." And three times he said, "Baba, you are great." I said, "Why?" "Oh, you have the throne in heaven. I have seen. Jesus has kept for you." I said, "I know." He said, "Ah." Then he smiled. He says, "Yes, I know that you know." I said, "Only one person is great that you should know, Jesus Christ, not his servant. I am his servant, and Jesus is great." Then when I said to devil like this, do you know what he says? "I know you are a very humble man." I said, "I don't want appreciation from you, my friend, devil. I just want you to get out of this man. Why did you come here?" He says, "You don't know. Let me talk to Jesus." I said, "Why do you? I will not allow you to talk to Jesus. Please allow me to talk to Jesus." I said, "Where is Jesus?" "He's sitting behind you. He's there on the throne." I said, "Okay, talk to Jesus." Then he talks to Jesus. Says, "Lord, don't you remember? I was the flute. I used to play flute before you, flute. And that my boss, Lucifer, was a great musician. Don't you remember that?" And he's talking to Christ. And I'm here, I'm listening to the communication between the Satan and the Lord. And the Lord is smiling, talking nothing. He says no word. He speaks no word. Then he says, "You said to me, go to my servant, and then he will tell you where to go. Now he is casting me out and sending me to the abyss. That you never told me," he is asking Jesus. "You never told, he is sending me to the wrong place." I said, "No, I am sending you to the right place. This is your place, you go there. I will not allow you." I said, "Why did you come in this man?" Then he says, "I was responsible for making accidents." The Lucifer, then he says like this, "I wish we would not have followed this, our boss Lucifer." Then he says like this, "I wish I would not have followed. Lord, forgive me." He's asking forgiveness from God. He's asking forgiveness from me. And Lord said, "Whatever you forgive on earth shall be forgiven in heaven." I said, "I will not forgive devil. He has done so much of damage to the world. I cannot forgive." I said, "No, I cannot forgive you. You have to get out of this man and go to the bottomless pit where I am sending you now." Finally, he goes away. So, even, and he says then, "Do you know what are you talking? This was written in my presence." So the Satan knows more Bible than the Christians know Bible. So you must know this. Because Jesus was tempted by the devil with the word of God. And he's saying it is written like this about you. You are Son of God. You jump from this place, you will never get hurt. But Jesus is refuting. He's not obeying him. We are not supposed to get into the temptations being brought by the devil. They are always traps. They are traps. Traps of the pride of life. Traps that you are very humble man. Traps that you are full of power. Traps you are a mighty man of God. What is this mighty man of God? God is mighty. Man is not mighty. When God is in me, then God is mighty in me. Not the man is mighty. God is mighty. And therefore I win my battles. Every time I win my battles. So Jesus is actually proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. Exactly nothing different I can talk to you about it today. The kingdom of heaven. If you look at the verse 23, chapter 4 of Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. And then his fame went throughout Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases, torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitude followed him. So actually, Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer, he is the deliverer. So who is in us is important. If Jesus is in you, then you are really allowing Christ, you are zero. Then everything is Jesus. So all the power and authority then belongs to Jesus Christ. And he operates through you wherever you go. You can operate with authority and power. You can command the clouds to stop raining, ice to melt. They will listen to you. I have experimented all these things and found that word of God works. We are living in a world where lots of witchcrafts and religious activities go on around us. And so much so, millions of people are just befooled by the many of these gods and goddesses who are really not true God and God. So we always see this kind of thing, activity. One time there was a big Kumbh Mela. That's at least 1 million people come in a day just to dip in that river. So then I decided to go and just visit. So I went in my car straight to the place. And I put my hand in water. I said, "Devil, leave this place. Don't befool my people." That's all. And I came out, sat in my car, went back to my home. Next day the newspapers reported, Christians should not be allowed to enter the Mela area. Next day, newspaper is reporting. Second day again, they're further criticizing Christians. Third day, the American Hindu, he was the main leader, he started criticizing my church openly. Then he was writing against me, writing everything against in the newspapers, and almost venom against my work in that city. Then I had to finally go and meet the police commissioner and asked him to stop this man from speaking like this. I have no problem him talking about his own faith, but he cannot criticize what I am doing in India. So we are all free. Everyone is free in this country. You can talk anything, but don't try to go beyond the boundaries which are not acceptable in terms of our civilization. Finally, he has to be asked to go. So I'm saying that nobody saw me going in that place. I went there incognito. That means no notice. Nobody could recognize me that I have visited that place. And still the devil knew that I have visited. And it disturbed the whole area. Whole area. So I went like this. Sometimes I'll go to another temple, a very big temple in the Odisha. I also went there. And I started praying outside that place. Then the pujaris, they will ask you to take off your shoes, and then you come, we pay this much, then you will have a peace for your life. I said, I don't need that peace, I'm all right. Let me pray for you. So I was praying from a distance in the other tongues, because I did not want myself to be understood. So by anybody, Hindi or English. So if I pray in English, somebody will understand what I'm talking. If I pray in Hindi, somebody will understand what I'm talking. So I started praying in heavenly languages. And thereafter I went away. The crown of the temple fell down. For 3 months it was closed. So you visit with power and authority such places, you can bind the forces of darkness at any time, any place. Jesus said very clearly in Matthew 18, verse 18, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you two of you agree on anything on earth and you ask for it, you will have it. Because where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. Experiment these words. Two of you agree, husband and wife agree together and pray. And you will see that results. You will find the results, exactly what you require. But two of you agree. That means two people don't really agree, even if they pray. This is the problem. Jesus recognized this problem. This is why he says two of you agree. Matthew 18 verse 19. Two of you agree together and pray. And that has power. Agreement has power. Presence of God. Because two or three gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Jesus Christ is omnipresent. He can be present this Sunday here. And same time he is present in India, same time he is present in America. Because he is omnipresent. He is omnipotent, omniscient. He knows all what we have in our hearts and minds. He knows all our problems, what we carry in our hearts. He knows everything what you are really going through. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. What can I hide from him? So I generally don't keep anything secret. I said, why should I keep secret from man or even with God? When I cannot keep secret with God, why should I keep secret with man? I carry nothing secret then. I said, Lord, I will not keep anything secret because I cannot keep secret. You said already clearly that the spirit of man is the lamp of God. Then what do I have then? Whatever I do in my body, whatever I do in my soul, whatever I act, whatever I think, whatever I speak is already known to God. It takes no time. Split of the second, before I can act, God knows what I am doing. So much of knowledge of God about me is so high. I cannot really attain it. Even when you were in unformed form, in your mother's womb, God knew about you. Therefore, the knowledge of God is so much about you, then why can't we have the knowledge of God? The reverse. The reverse is the problem. This is where we fail. This is where the lack of faith and lack of knowledge of God brings no salvation. But the knowledge of God brings salvation. Knowing God and His Christ is eternal life. Kingdom of God is nowhere without Christ. Kingdom of God has a king. Every kingdom has a king, a ordained king, crowned king. And there's no one but Jesus Christ, Son of God. He is the king. And he is carrying the power and authority of the kingdom. And therefore he asked his disciples, go into the world, preach the gospel of the kingdom. Baptize the people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lo, I am with you till end of the age. Then in Mark 16, verse 17 and 18, All those believed in him, all those believers shall accompany these signs. What are those signs? They will cast out devils in my name. They will pick up snakes. Even if they drink deadly or poisonous stuff by mistake, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. The word of God is perfect, my dear brothers and sisters and children. When a believer, your pastor, lays hands upon you, your healing is guaranteed. It is not him healing, but Jesus healing in him. It is Jesus working in him, in us, all of us. Just on Friday, my daughter-in-law had a surgery of the tonsillitis. So I was with her in some city in Belgium. I can't remember the name of the city because we stayed in the hotel. And we are looking after our daughter-in-law. And then she was in the hospital. On Friday, she had a surgery. And then 24 hours, she was relieved from the hospital, which was kind of a very, very, very early, which ordinarily doesn't happen. And 24 hours, she's relieved from the hospital. Doctor said, you can take her to home. He said, all right. And then when I went in the morning, next day on Saturday morning, to see her, how is she doing? Abhilasha was sharing gospel and having lunch, sharing gospel with a Belgian girl who had an accident and an injury in her spinal cord. And then she said, Daddy, I was just waiting for you that you will come and pray for this, my roommate here in this hospital. So I asked her, then she says, I'm a Belgian, can you pray for me? I said, as long as I even pray for the cows. So don't worry. I said, I pray for the cows, I pray for the animals and livestock, I pray for the crops, field, I pray for the clouds, that there let there be rain, so that we have good field, good harvest this year. When there was a dry spell declared in my region, in the state of where I live, then I prayed, I said, let there be rain, Lord, today. By evening there was rain. There was a meeting of the state officials, and I was invited in this state meeting of the agriculture. And the chief secretary is like the governor's next secretary. So he was chairing the meeting. And I said, this year we will have a good crop. He was thinking, as a scientist, I am talking to him. He says, how, Dr. Lal, how is it? I said, because I prayed and you had rains yesterday. All laughed. And then one of the secretary knew that well, that yes, I pray and things happen. And he says, sir, whatever he prays, things will happen. I said, I have prayed this year we will have a good rice crop. And you have declared officially there will be dry spell. There will be no good crop this year. I said, this year you are going to have good crop. We have lots of rain now. All planting is done. Excellent crop is coming up. So the weather, anything you have to do is, all is in your control. You can change things, change the directions of the wind, because you are the child of God. Your authority is much higher than the worldly kingdoms. Heavenly kingdom is the heavenly authority. We are given the authority. In John chapter 1 verse 12, Jesus' word says, all those who believed in Christ Jesus, he gave them the authority to become the children of God. So you became the child of God. That means you are God. You are like God. If you are not God, at least you are like God. A child of God is like her father. My child is like my, at least like me. He can't be my, can't be father, but he can't be me, but he is like me. So the child of God is like God. So you all become like God once you are given the authority, and you can exercise this authority with confidence. Nothing to fear when it comes to exercising authority. Praise God. Amen. You are actually handling a great kingdom. You are entering the kingdom which is real one. The worldly kingdoms, I will give you an example, right from Babylonian, Persian, all mighty powers. As we consider today, USA is the superpower of the world. Likewise, Persia was once upon a time superpower. Babylon was a great superpower once upon a time. Egypt was a superpower long time ago. All BCs. Then Greeks, they became superpowers. Then Britain came. Then so many other powers. Daniel also saw about five kingdoms. So all these came and gone. But the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus is expanding day by day. It is increasing. It is not decreasing. You can imagine what is happening in India is not an ordinary event. I remember there was a time when we could not openly pray in that country. We could not openly take the name of Jesus. It was so closed. We could not even worship within our university, our own colleges and compounds that belong to us. Always afraid someone will check, someone will take action again, someone will complain. All these things are happening. But today what is happening? Hearts are opened. God is opening the heart of the people. People are just flowing. Multitudes are flowing to know this truth. It is not that the only miracles. Miracles and healings are the vehicles that carry the message of heaven. I do not glorify miracles. I do not glorify healings. I glorify Jesus, the King. So Jesus, our Lord, has to be glorified in every action of ours. Today, everywhere people know that this is the man praying for healings. I was the president of the Association of Indian Universities. So for last year till July. And one of my colleague, vice chancellor of the National Law University, he was suffering with some spinal problem. So he had a tight belt on him and he was unable to walk. He was a member of the governing council in the country. So I was chairman of the governing council of the vice chancellors in India. Then he comes with pain, full of pain. And I said, "What happened to you, professor?" He says, "I am suffering with this for quite some time." I said, "Come to my room first." So I took him to my room. Same in the facility where we had the meeting. And I prayed for him. I said, "Open your belt. Can I pray for you?" He's a Punjabi Hindu. I said, "Can I pray for you?" He said, "Yes, yes, why not? At least I should get rid of this pain. I have problem. I am running with this belt and all that, orthopedic belt. So I'll remove it." So he removed. So I said, James 5, 14 and 15. That says, the church, elder of the church will anoint with oil and pray upon the sick person, and the sick shall be healed. Not only healed, even the sins will be forgiven. So I applied oil on his back and prayed. His pain disappeared. He went out of my room without belt. And then he goes and tells all the people in that community. So all those, in the morning, the Secretary General comes. Then another Vice Chancellor, he was an American person, but he is belonging to Freemasons here. There is a cult. So he was a member of that Masons cult. And he knew Bible very well. He knew Bible very well. He was quoting Bible all the time with me. I thought he's a Christian. That was not true. So, but then I said, well, when he saw this healing, he was attracted. He came in the morning, early morning to me. "Sir, can you pray for me?" I said, "Yes, definitely. I will first share with you the Lord Jesus Christ, his gospel." So I shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ, with that Mason. And then another Secretary General comes in the morning. He says, "Sir, I am diabetic. Can you pray for me?" I said, "Sure." So then, like this, the authorities, they will draw to you. This is healings, miracles are vehicle to carry the kingdom of God, the message of Christ. We are not supposed to glorify the healings, but glorify Christ. I said, why are you healed? Because Jesus Christ died for you. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, that by his stripes we are healed. I said, you are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. It's a mysterious. Question is, how come somebody is chastised, somebody is beaten up, and I am healed? How is it possible? How is it possible that he can take away my sins? See, logical people, philosophers, I encounter all the time, scientists, philosophers, logical people, they will ask me this question. I said, fine, what about your parliament? Do you go to parliament or you elect a person to the parliament? They said, we elect a person to the parliament. I said, then whatever laws they pass, they are binding upon you. Good or bad, you have to obey that law. The whole country has to follow that. That means they are your representatives in the parliament. Likewise, I said, heaven is another parliament that controls the whole universe, the whole creation. And this heavenly parliament does not have a correct representative. And this is why God has to send his own begotten son to become man. God becomes man. Biggest sacrifice. More sacrifice than suffering on the cross. Almighty God becoming man and then suffering. Man, a perfect man could represent the whole universe. There was no perfect man available on the whole universe, whole creation. Therefore, God had to create another man and send another man. And God himself takes the form of man. So God becomes man. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is called then. God becomes man. So this man, who is the perfect man, takes the responsibility of all mankind. So we are all covered in this man called Jesus Christ. He takes responsibility of our sins. He takes responsibility of our failures. He takes responsibility of our curses or our all wrong actions. Even our forefathers, what they have done, or our children, what they will do in years to come. This perfect man has taken responsibility and has become representative of the all creation, all of us, just as we have representatives in our parliaments. They are our representatives. They represent the whole constituency, the whole city, sometimes whole state is represented by one parliamentarian, and then he goes to the parliament. Likewise, the whole earth is represented by one man called Jesus Christ. That's logic. And his logic is acceptable. There could be a representative in heaven, must be perfect, must be holy, and a holy man, no other holy man except Jesus Christ, was found suitable to represent the whole mankind. And therefore we are healed. Therefore we are healed. Therefore we are saved by having our faith in him. In him is eternal life. Nothing outside Jesus. We have eternal life. May God bless you as you have heard the word.